to the Two Coffee Teachers Podcast. I'm Alex.
And I'm Josh. We're two young educators who want to contribute to our field. On this podcast, we talk about education and relevant content to apply in our classrooms. It's our hope that this podcast can also encourage educators without needing that second cup of coffee.
If you're new to the podcast, welcome to the show. We're happy to have you. And if you are a regular subscriber, thank you for tuning in again. We hope that you've had a lovely Thanksgiving holiday, a nice and relaxing past couple of weeks as a lot of us move towards the Christmas and Hanukkah holidays near this end of the December.
It's the end of the year. It's the final push. We're almost there.
So for today's main topic, we will be discussing the JMU inaugural unconference.
The inaugural, the first one ever, right? This was an event, in case you don't know, Alex, we both go to James Madison University in Virginia, one of the greatest schools on the planet. We're not biased, I promise. And and we had the privilege to be part of the first unconference that ever happened at JMU in education.
Yes, it was through the College of Education, yes.
Do you want to talk briefly about what an unconference is?
Yes, so at your regular conference, generally you have it at a big convention center, maybe a hotel. You have this huge schedule that's stretched out over a couple of days or so. You have your multiple sessions that are maybe hour or 2 hours long where you go to that specific room. You have some sort of dialogue, a huge presentation, and you're able to choose which sessions that you're able to go to. Or maybe there are even some required sessions that you have to go to. Now, with the unconference, it's packed into a much shorter and smaller space. So at JMU, we were able to host it in the main foyer area at Memorial Hall, which was
the home of all things education.
Yeah,
at JMU.
Absolutely. So with the unconference, it was only over a two-hour period, and there were 10 tables, okay? So you have 10 tables. We had over at least probably about 150 to 200 participants.
Yeah, it was great turnout.
People that came out to learn some new things for the conference, but with each table, there is a speaker that's going on, and they were able to have 15 minutes to do a super quick, shortened version of what they would do at a normal presentation.
Sure.
After those 15 minutes are up, they would then play music, ring a bell, or at least the conference host or facilitators would ring a bell, play a little music. There'd be a 5-minute transition period, and then you would go to a different table with a different presenter. So
it's very quick, right? It moves very quickly. Yeah.
And what's cool about the unconference is that there weren't only 10 stories or presentations or topics, right? What was cool is that people signed up, or at least presenters and hosts, they only signed up for maybe two or three out of about eight, sessions.
Yeah.
So after they would host their sessions, they'd then have someone else that was new come and do a different session, while the people that just hosted would then go off and listen to other sections.
And become part of the conversation, right? It's cool because at a normal size venue, right, you don't get the intimate dialogue that you may get to have by sitting at a table with a presenter and talking to them about it. That was my favorite part, is just being able to have an open dialogue with someone. They weren't presenting to me in 15 minutes. We were having a conversation about what they brought to the table, which was really cool. I really liked it, especially when we got to do our presentation. Alex and I were very fortunate in that we were allowed to lead a table discussion, which was a huge honor for us. We were the only students, the only graduate students that were able to do that. And we got to talk about podcasting. We got to plug Two Coffee Teachers, and we got to really talk about the podcasting medium with our peers and some teachers and professors. It was a really cool conversation.
Yeah, so obviously we need to do a little shout-out to the people that sat in on our host or at our presentation. Thank you for joining. I know we picked up a couple of new listeners because of that, so quick plug to you all.
Thanks.
But
welcome.
That was a great opportunity for us because we were able to not only plug our show, tell our story about how we came about, and talk about some of the things that we've covered. We were able to talk about how our podcast can help one develop as a teacher.
Sure.
And we also talked about how podcasting could help students develop and how podcasting can be used in your classroom or in anyone's classroom to help further stimulate the classroom environment.
Sure. And if you have any questions, you want to talk to Alex or I about either of those things with podcasting, shoot us an email. twocoffeeteachers at Gmail or tweet at us. We'd love to talk to you about it. It's one of our favorite things to talk about.
Oh, for sure. We could talk about podcasting any day. So you might be wondering, well, why did we do this? Why did JMU and why did the College of Education host this first UnConference?
That's a very valid question.
So I think obviously the short answer would be, well, we obviously want to provide an on-site or an on-campus opportunity for students to think about professional development and learn more about what they can do as they work through their undergraduate or graduate coursework.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, a conference, it might cost a little bit to put on, right?
Yeah, no, of course.
So with that being said, this was ultimately, or the organizers of the UnConference ultimately decide that the best way to organize this and to obtain funds for this UnConference was to support and raise money for this academy in Kenya, in Nairobi, Kenya, called the Nasaruni Academy.
Nairuk,
excuse me. My pronunciation was a little slurred there.
It's all right. You're good. We just got to know the right place. That's two different places, you know what I mean?
Yes.
We got to be clear about that. No, continue. You're right on that.
So with this, with your registration fee, obviously it was able to help cover any sort of compensation with parking or travel logistics for some of our presenters to come in. A lot of people came in from various parts of the state of Virginia.
Absolutely.
But ultimately, these Maasai girls and this Nasaruni Academy is a place for girls that live in this developing country to receive an education, right? So with this, obviously it costs a lot of money to expand, to build a school anywhere.
Yeah.
Much less in a very rural community that's away from, I guess, socialized life, so to say, or at least in a more developed area.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, it costs a lot of money to build a classroom, obtain resources. And again, considering the rural location of this school, there's now a new desire to build a dormitory for mm-hmm. the students, especially since many of them are traveling several hours just to get to class. Right?
Every day.
So
every
they're
day.
Either walking, they might be taking a long shuttle ride in. These girls are coming in from all over that part of the province. And there's also a need with this ultimate goal of building the dormitory for the girls to be able to come in and stay on campus so they don't have to be making these huge travel and time commitments.
Which is dangerous.
And it's dangerous too, for sure. But we're able to then, with more money, they're going to look to try and build a well, too. So it would be a 600-foot drill. They'd be able to create a well. And not only would that benefit the girls, but it would become a huge, very integral resource, or an integral, or a very important resource for the entire community.
Yeah, and like you said, it's an important resource for the entire community. Someone told me as we were putting on this UnConference that the investment that someone can put in girls' education in that region has one of the largest return investments of any other investment you can make in that community. I think that's huge, right? And so for that reason and many more, this was something that we're all very passionate about. One of our professors that we've worked with very often, Michelle Cooch, is a wonderful lady, and she's been working very closely with the Nasaruni Academy. She's visited the academy a couple of times, and she's inspired us to get excited about supporting these girls. So we've been very excited. That's what the UnConference is about. We're trying to raise money to support the school, and I'm going to tell you, we are pretty successful.
Oh, absolutely. We were able to raise about, I believe, according to the last statistic, we definitely raised $2,000 just at the conference.
Sure.
And at other events that were related to the Nasaruni Academy that came about in the couple of days afterwards, we were able to obtain another $1,700 for only about a 3-day span.
Dang.
Especially revolving around this first ever UnConference, we were able to raise about $2,700 for these girls and for this school to continue to develop and grow.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that it seems like it just comes out of nowhere when you have, you know, only so a couple hundred dollars to a couple thousand in less than a week. It just, it was incredible. It was a really cool event, and we are proud to be a part of it.
Oh, for sure. Now, of course, with the keeping the unconference in mind, so last year we were actually able to meet Bishop Moses Sayo. So he was the individual, or he's actually married to the headmaster at that school. And this family has done a lot of work over the past couple of years trying to continue to grow this school. So when he came over to the United States, he was here for about 2 weeks, and he was able to sit in and have discussions with us about, or at least in our undergraduate coursework, and we were able to have some conversations about the culture and the livelihoods of these girls and just people in general in that region. So it was very eye-opening for sure.
Yeah.
And it really just makes knowing that we were, or at least with the unconference, we were able to make a big difference in the lives of these girls. That was a really nice feeling, especially thinking back to that almost a year ago now.
Yeah, wow, that was a year ago at this point. Time moves fast. We work hard, man. We do a lot of stuff. That was a year ago. Seems crazy.
So now, obviously, with all this talk about the Nazarene Academy, I'm sure this might have sparked you as a listener, your interest in maybe helping out. Now, on our social media and all of our online platforms, we'll definitely put in a plug for the Nazarene Academy. Currently, there is a huge crowdrise site to continue to accumulate funds to continue to work on the process of making this drilling for the well, and then
they're shooting for $10,000
total. $10,000 is hopefully by the end of the year. I know right now it's a little bit of a lofty goal, but we're really making a strong push. Everyone that's involved and has learned about the Nazarene Academy is really working hard to try and get to that. But by the end of the fiscal year, I think the ultimate goal is going to be $50,000. And
once we get to
50, that'll be able to fully fund the drill completion and build the dormitory with all of the amenities that come along with that too.
Wow. So if you're interested in supporting Nazarene Academy, supporting one of the things we're passionate about here at the Two Coffee Teacher Podcast, as well as at James Madison University's, you can reach out to us through email, or you can check any of our social media platforms, and we'll definitely plug the Academy if that's something you'd love to support. We'd really appreciate it, and we know that they will certainly appreciate it.
So when we were at the unconference, so we had our roundtable session,
which was great,
but we also had the opportunity to speak with two social studies teachers that are currently in the field right now. So we were able to set up shop near the end of the session, or excuse me, near the end of the unconference, and we were able to have a live interview with a small audience with one woman named Heidi Brown, who is also a James Madison graduate, but she's a social studies teacher at Centerville High School in Fairfax.
Sure.
And then we were also able to sit down and have a conversation with Christy Jurley, who is a teacher at Monroe Middle School in Greene County, Virginia.
Yep.
So we were able to talk to them about the first couple of years of teaching. We were able to do a little Q&A with them, and I thought that was very insightful for anyone who's trying to or anyone who is going to be going into student teaching, or anyone that's in their first couple of years of teaching right now.
We have a large base of our audience who's kind of in that like 5 year give or take niche. And I mean, we get talk with discussions going about that all the time. We hear from our peers and from the people who reach out to us through Two Coffee Teachers about like a lot of the questions that I feel like someone who's gone through it pretty recently has a lot of wisdom to share in that. So it was a really cool conversation talking to these ladies, and we were so thankful they could sit down and talk with us. We really appreciated it.
Absolutely. So at this point in the podcast, we'll go ahead and play that interview back for y'all. Make sure you turn your volume up just a little bit on your computer or listening device so you can get the full audio of that conversation. But we hope you're able to get a little bit out of that conversation, and go ahead and take a listen. Let's hear what Mrs. Brown and Mrs. Jurley have to say about the first couple of years of their teaching experience.
Welcome to the unconference portion of our episode today. We are here at the JMU Unconference 2015. You're listening to the Two Coffee Teacher Podcast. I'm Josh.
And I am Alex, and we're joined here today by two guests and a live audience. So our guests are Heidi Brown, who is a social studies teacher at Centerville High School in Fairfax. and Christy Jurley, who's at Monroe Middle School in Greene County. So we'll be talking a little bit for a couple minutes about their first several years in teaching, both with their student teaching experiences and also the first couple of years of them being hired and having their own classrooms. And we're going to have this conversation, have a little bit of audience participation. We're just having a good time, and we're going to learn a little bit about what it's like to have their own classroom for the first couple of years.
Would you guys introduce yourselves really briefly for our audience? That'd be great.
Sure. So I'm Heidi Brown. This is my third year teaching at Centerville High School. And I obviously am an alumni of JMU.
And my name's Christy. I am in my second year of teaching at William Monroe Middle School. I'm also an alumni, graduated 2014.
Awesome. Well, we really appreciate you guys sitting down with us, hanging out with us. Our first question is about your first year, maybe your first couple years of teaching. Most of our audience is predominantly young educators. What was your first year or two teaching like? Do you have any great takeaways that you got out of that experience?
So everyone said that the first year was going to be super terrible, that I wouldn't ever leave the school, and that I would never see the light of day because I would get there early and be planning. And it wasn't that bad. It really wasn't that bad.
That's great.
And I had a super supportive team. I think really just using my team and using my resources and not being afraid to ask for help and to ask for opinions and, hey, do you have a great idea for this? That was extremely helpful for me, not having to feel like I had to plan every single day and every single part of every single lesson by myself. Wow. So I would say just really using your resources will help you. Obviously, it was difficult in the last year, and then this year after that have been so much easier. but I would say don't psych yourself out. It's not as terrible as everyone makes it out to seem. JMU prepares you really well.
Good.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with Heidi. I got really scared going into it because everyone was like, oh my gosh, you're going to be crying every night and it's going to be terrible. So I think I psyched myself out and in some ways probably prepared too much. But the one thing that's probably really helped me is using the resources and then keeping those organized so that you're not searching for that one paper for 30
sure.
minutes, you know?
Yeah.
To be really have a place for everything, and it'll save you time.
Using your support system, you don't have to come in and leave when it's dark both times. awesome.
Thanks, so guys. On a previous episode, we actually talked about trying to find a balance between the teacher life and your own personal life, and how there's a lot of research going out there that suggests that teachers that spend too much time trying to make the difference with their students and being involved with their lesson planning
it's
taking a toll on their personal lives and their mental health. So you brought up a great point about making sure that the reality is that you're not there till 9 p.m. lesson planning. And are those realities true? And what are some things that you two have done to create that balance and enjoy the profession, but also have that extra bubble where you're able to have a social life and to take care of some of your hobbies and see your family and things along those lines?
So actually, going into my first year, I promised myself that I wouldn't take home work on the weekends.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I actually stuck to that.
Nice.
I did have some pretty late nights during the week, but it was worth it to be able to leave everything at school.
Sure.
And have a full weekend, and that was great. Using resources, there are a bunch of teachers at that school where you'll start teaching where they have lesson plans, they have materials, and it might not be your style or whatever, but you can certainly tweak it to make it your style. So that was a huge help.
Yeah, so I have a husband and a 10-month-old son. So
wow.
Especially this year, like, I'm very much trying to focus on my family. And so what I try to do is I try, and this is really big, but I try not to bring any grading home with me at all.
Ooh, that's a good one.
So I stay an hour after school, and I get it done then instead of bringing it home. And that
sure.
way, when I'm home, I can really be with my family. I also utilize the kids a lot. So there are a lot of trivial things that the kids can actually grade themselves. I do like a map they have to do maps because I teach geography, and so I have them peer grade that. Anytime they can peer grade something, you got to watch out because they're a little sneaky sometimes.
Yeah. Know your audience.
Right.
Know your class.
And I do look over them, but like, don't be afraid to utilize the kids when it's appropriate.
Sure.
That can save you some serious time. But you have to make yourself a priority. That's why so many teachers burn out, is because, you know, in that first couple of years, they just don't have a personal life. So you really got to make yourself and your family a priority, too.
So I've done that peer grading thing, too, and it helps if you have them put their pens and pencils back in their backpack and then grade with a highlighter so they can't possibly cheat.
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant. I never thought of that.
I also make them write, like, checked by in their name so that I can go back, hey, why did you mark this wrong? Like, you need to be accountable for what's going on. So,
So keeping up with the idea of our students, do you all have any memorable experiences or valuable times that really helped reinforce the idea that you want to be a teacher?
I think my student teaching experience, that was huge for me. I had an amazing set of cooperating teachers, and I got a lot of positive feedback that I felt like I didn't really get during practicum. It's not that I didn't have good practicum teachers, I just didn't feel when I was at JMU that I was getting that positive feedback. And then when I got to student teaching, I got it, and so I just felt really good about that experience, and I think I carried that positivity with me into my actual teaching. And so that was really when it clicked for me. It didn't click in school. It didn't click in practicum. So student teaching, for sure.
Yeah. It wasn't quite that early for me. And, in fact, I remember one of my history professors here at JMU. I was in his office talking to him. And he said, how sure are you that you want to be a teacher? And I said, I can't tell you I'm 100% sure. I can't even tell you I'm 90% sure because I haven't done it yet.
Wow.
But I'm in a unique experience because last year I taught 6th grade. And then this year I'm teaching 7th grade. So I moved up with the same students.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
It was nice to come back my second year and have them be like, oh, Miss Jurley, we're in your class again. We're so excited. Or, Miss Jurley, we're so disappointed. We don't have you again this year, but I'm going to come and visit.
Aww.
So that's when it clicked in. And that was just really special for me.
It sounds for both of you guys that, like, the positive feedback you've gotten from other people, like, really lifted off and was big momentum for you having more positive experiences with your students. That's kind of a theme that I'm seeing.
Well, at this point, that wraps up our live portion of our podcast.
Yeah. Guys, thanks so much for sitting down with us, talking to our audience. We really appreciate it. We'll be sure to send you a link of the podcast so you guys can keep up as well. That'd be great.
Awesome.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you again for your time.
Thanks so much for listening to the Two Coffee Teacher Podcast. We want to continue the conversation that we've had here today through our social media channels and the like. You can keep up with us on our Facebook group, The Two Coffee Teachers, on Facebook. You can also follow us on @2CoffeeTeachers, the number 2 Coffee Teachers. You can even leave us a voicemail at 443-300-8908, and we might even play you on the podcast.
It'd be a huge help if you could rate us on iTunes. We've slowly been getting a little bit more out of our feedback from our listeners.
Heck,
I think we're up to 6 reviews right now.
We got 6? Yeah!
5 of which are 5 stars. So
that's high quality, man.
We're killing it on the ratings right now, but we only want to get better. We want to hear your feedback. And the best way to do that is through this iTunes rating. It's how we're able to get it out to other people who may be interested in what we're doing, and also be helpful in allowing us to grow our community even more. So
I'm not gonna be happy till we're on iTunes new and noteworthy podcast, man. That's the goal right there.
For sure. Thank you so much for being a part of the Two Coffee Teacher Podcast. Thank you to the JMU Unconference, Dr. Kood, the Future Social Studies Educators student organization that was able to set up the Unconference, allow us to be a part of that. But ultimately, thank you to all of our listeners. Keep up the hard work in the classroom without needing that second cup of coffee.
Bye, guys. I can see the sweet sun pouring down in the strawberry sky. Tall grass dancing down by the St. John's Riverside. And I can see Maggie running through the fields full of wild. A free spirit.